David here. Yesterday's podcast, the interview with Matt Phillips, the gifted Hampstead artist, how do you follow that act? Matt's so engaging and easy and friendly and natural and generous. And everything he says in the interview is high-protein superfood. So yes, tough act to follow. Another way of putting that, baseball idiom time, entirely appropriate, of course, because we're both technically Yanks. Well, Matt's very English, but he does have the passport, thanks to both of his parents being American. Anyway, the baseball idiom would be, Matt came up to the plate yesterday, bases loaded, and he cleared them. Hit it out of the park. A grand slam home run. How do you follow a grand slam? No way I'm swinging for the fences in this podcast. I'm going to lay down a bunt. Keep it short. Hope to get to first base. So I thought I'd do something about London place names. One place name in particular. Truth be told, I'm in love with London place names. The mystery and magic and romance of them. Shakespeare once used the phrase in Macbeth, "Look into the seeds of time." That was a matter of a character trying to foretell what was down the road, look into the future. Seeds of time also works, though, looking in the other direction, looking into the past. London place names are like the rings of a tree, an X-ray that shows you the past, sometimes the distant past of a neighborhood or a district. Or an area, or yes, let's use the word a London village. You want to know what the DNA of a London neighborhood is, get its name under your microscope, and count your lucky stars. You want an idea how rewarding London is in this regard, think of it as a smorgasbord. No, think of two dining halls, two smorgasbords. The sign outside one of the dining halls says, "This way for the Manhattan smorgasbord." The sign outside the other dining hall says, "This way for the London smorgasbord." And let's say you wander into the Manhattan smorgasbord, and there all the dishes are set out on the table, and they're labeled, they're named. They're Upper East Side, Midtown, Lower East Side, Upper West Side, etc. Or how about the names of the dishes that are Manhattan streets? There's First Avenue and Second Avenue and Third Avenue and Fifth Avenue and Seventh Avenue and 33rd Street and 34th Street and 35th Street and 42nd Street and 96th Street. And, well, you get the idea. Look inviting, sound inviting. Toothsome? Give me a break. Yes, that's right. Chances are you change your mind. Make your apologies and back right out of there. Sorry, it looks like I took the wrong turn. And you head over to the London smorgasbord. Same layout, lots of dishes, all labeled. Names like Mayfair and Knightsbridge. And Covent Garden, and Bloomsbury, and Marylebone, and Shoreditch, and Elephant and Castle, and Honor Oak Park, and Highgate, and Parsons Green, and World's End, and Mortlake, and Nine Elms, and Whitehall, and Blackheath, and the Inns of Court. Well, you get the idea. It's case closed, not even a contest. I thrill to those names. Whereas 18th Street or 3rd Avenue, give me a break. So yeah, I'm a big fan of London place names. and I thought I'd just do one of them tonight for this podcast. Bayswater. If you've been to London, you probably know the district. It's pretty central. It's flanked on its south side by one of the most desirable, one of the prettiest green verges going, Kensington Gardens and Hyde Park. To the west, there's Notting Hill and Holland Park. To the northeast, there's Paddington. It's stucco land, some lovely squares. After Soho, it's probably London's most cosmopolitan district. Its two main arteries, Queensway and Westbourne Grove, are literally and figuratively flavorsome. Ethnic cuisine restaurants galore. And lots of small hotels, which surely is why it's familiar stamping ground to a lot of foreign visitors to London. Whereas, by way of example, the Maida Vale or Queen's Park districts, which really aren't that far from Bayswater, are, comparatively speaking, a foreign country to visitors. Martin Amis, in his novel Success, nails it when he calls Bayswater the District of Transience. Now, what about the name? Bayswater. It's potent stuff, that name. We need to go back nearly 1,000 years to 1066 and that world-changing event for this island. No historical event more important, the Norman Conquest. And let's think about London first. William the Conqueror and the Normans were a little bit wary of London, so they served notice on it, as it were, with two great fortresses. One of them still stands, the Tower of London. The other great fortress was called Baynard's Castle. Now let's think where those fortresses were located. The Tower of London is at the southeastern corner of the City of London, where the southeastern corner of London meets the Thames. Located there, the tower served a twofold purpose. The invasion route was to cross the channel and come up the Thames. So positioned there, that Norman castle, the White Tower, it guarded the downstream approach. But at the same time, it literally towered over London. The tower was a kind of clenched iron fist, there for Londoners to see all day, every day. It said, in no uncertain terms, I'm the boss. I'm in charge here. Don't even think about challenging me. And the other castle was at the southwestern corner of London. The western boundary of the original Roman city was the Fleet River. It gave the Romans a natural barrier to that side. It also provided them with a natural harbor. So, sure enough, the Normans built a fortress there. It looked out, gloweringly, over the upstream approach to London, controlled it. And it looked over the western edge of the city. It made that same clenched iron fist statement to Londoners that its opposite number, the tower, was making at the southeastern corner of the city. I'm the man, it said. We're in charge here. Don't even think about challenging us. That second fortress, the fortress at the southwestern corner of the City of London, was known as Baynard's Castle. It was named after a Norman overlord, one Ralph Baynard. He was a Norman magnate, came over with William the Conqueror. William the Conqueror rewarded him handsomely for services rendered. Nothing attests to that more than the Doomsday Book. Prior to the conquest, his name is associated with zero places in England. After the conquest, 96 places. Now let's get back to Bayswater. And your ear should be telling you now. As you know, in Hyde Park and Kensington Gardens, there's a body of water known as the Serpentine. It's a man-made lake. But 1,000 years ago, there was a natural body of water there. It was fed by one of London's secondary rivers, the Westbourne. One of those 96 tracts of land William the Conqueror awarded to his trusted Norman lieutenant Ralph Baynard included what today are those wonderful royal parks, Hyde Park and Kensington Gardens. And now everything falls into place. Ralph Baynard was the landowner. There's a body of water on that land. That body of water is today's Serpentine. But because that lake stood on land owned by Ralph Baynard, it, the lake, came to be known as Baynard's Water. And out of that came, eventually, the place name for the district just to the north of Baynard's Water, Bayswater. Here endeth today's London Place Names Lesson.